From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. Each week, this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
This week, the world learned that Garmin would adjust how its devices route users to the famous Hollywood sign, which stands in the Hollywood Hills above Los Angeles. The devices will not route to the sign itself, but rather to one of two viewing areas. We'll dig into the details and consider if this is best practice or a can of worms for the company and its users. But first, a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, bringing you truly integrated GIS and image processing from a single organization. Is your GIS at a gridlock, limited to a few, contained and locked away? Between those working with a heavy and hard-to-use desktop GIS and a static, lightweight, browser-based GIS exists a large potential user base. GeoMedia Smart Client makes your organization progressive, engaging individuals and departments to collectively ignite your dynamic GIS. Geographic changes are easily and interactively implemented across an enterprise-wide smart GIS, seamlessly integrating into configurable workflows. Users leverage advanced geospatial functionality via simple-to-use map-based tools, streamlining their processes and honing their expertise to build a smart GIS. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial.
Now, when this story broke about Garmin adjusting how it routes people to the Hollywood sign, there was lots of coverage, but it wasn't exactly clear what they were doing. So after some digging, I actually found a quote that explains what Garmin said it was going to do. And I am quoting from Curbed LA, which is quoting from the Hollywoodland Homeowners Association newsletter. And it reads, "The original location has been removed, and now visitors will be directed to either the Hollywood and Highland Center, option A, or Griffith Observatory, option B. These changes will be added for Garmin's first fiscal quarter and should be seen in GPS devices starting this spring." What Garmin did was actually take out the point of interest called the Hollywood sign. And when you type that in, apparently it's going to give you two choices. Do you want to go to Hollywood and Highland Center, or do you want to go to the Griffith Observatory? Those will be your only options. Now, this whole issue came up because residents over the past couple of years have been seeing increased traffic, increased visitors, increased litter, increased cigarette butts, and that's an issue because this is a fire-prone area of California, and all the other issues that come with lots of tourists. And the locals have been making handmade signs and some very official-looking signs to try to discourage people from heading up in this area and to try to get them to avoid specific dead-end streets and the like with very little impact. Everything that I've read suggests that the land that people want to visit is in fact public land, so there's no reason to keep them out from a legal standpoint. And it turned out that the real issue seemed to come down to the fact that people were following their GPS device routing and getting caught up in the traffic up in the hills and then hiking up to the sign itself. So Garmin's decision then was to remove the landmark location and instead to replace it with two other locations that are not the landmark but places you can view it from. Now, let's start with the technical side, Joe. Was this a good solution to the problem, removing the point of interest?
Yeah, that I think is the crux of the matter. For Garmin's purposes, it was a necessary move because let's remember, Garmin is working with a navigable application. So people use Garmin for many different purposes, but it's primarily to navigate to a destination. And that's a really important distinction because other map-based applications are not that way. And I know we're going to talk about what Google did. But for Garmin's purposes, it was absolutely necessary.
Okay, so the removal is okay, and when you say route me to this place, it actually routes you to a different place.
Right, right. And I think that, that's a good solution for eliminating some of the headaches that certainly people who are resident in the area will find.
I think you make a really good point that for the purpose of the devices we're talking about, this is a good answer.
Right.
Now, if you want to have a truthful, complete base map, maybe this isn't such a great answer.
Well, and that's why I raised that issue, because if you use Google Maps, so let's go there for a second. So Google will route you to an area similar to what Garmin is going to do. And for navigation purposes, if you're using Google Maps, again, entirely appropriate. However, if you're using Google Earth, which to me is more of a POI-based application, you should have the exact location of that Hollywood sign. But that is not the case. So if you type in Hollywood sign, Los Angeles, California, in Google Earth, you're going to get the same information that you would in Google Maps.
Which is not the Hollywood sign, not the location.
Which is not the Hollywood sign. In fact, the location that they give you for the Hollywood sign is on a minor little ridge line adjacent to the Roosevelt Golf Course, a public golf course in the area. It's in the middle of nowhere, basically.
So it's neither of the two locations that were described by Garmin.
It is proximal to the Griffith Observatory parking lot, but you have to essentially reroute yourself to specifically the Griffith Observatory. So literally, we'll show pictures. We'll post pictures of where this is. But it's sitting in the middle of some obscure little ridgeline adjacent to a small little road. It's not accurate at all. It's going to route you somewhere where you may not even have a view of the Hollywood sign.
Well, let me just make a comment. As I was thinking about this and I read about what Garmin did, Garmin said it sent a cartographer to explore the matter. And what this really comes down to is this is a question of cartography. And we have this idea that there is a perfect, complete, and accurate map of Los Angeles and environs in this case. But there isn't, because once you involve humans in building that map, there are things that are going to be left out, there are things that are going to be left in, some things are going to be emphasized, some things are going to be de-emphasized. And cartographers have been making those choices since maps were invented. And if you like, this is the modern equivalent.
Right, right. Now, let me go to an example which is somewhat equivalent. Mount St. Helens. So if you search on Mount St. Helens on Google Earth, you will get to the pinnacle, the top of Mount St. Helens across the ridgeline, the crest line of the crater. So it's an accurate POI. However, if you ask to be routed to Mount St. Helens, you will be routed to the nearest navigable road that gets you close to the POI center of Mount St. Helens. If you look at these two examples between the Hollywood sign and Mount St. Helens, you're going to get routed correctly, and you can search correctly, but it's two different applications. So people have to be aware that you're going to be searching for two different things.
Now, when you say it's two different applications, do you mean Google Maps and Google Earth?
Well, yes. I think, again, you have to ask yourself what you're going to be using. Google Maps, you're going to use to route yourself there. Google Earth, you're going to use for primarily POI and sightseeing and whatever.
And yet, it's my understanding that those two applications use the same database, don't they?
They do. But again, one is, if you ask to be routed with Google Maps, you're going to get to the road closest to the crest line of the volcano's crater.
Right. And if you asked to be routed in Google Earth?
I didn't try that as yet. I only searched on the crater.
The actual location,
yeah.
And my suspicion is that those two applications do, in fact, operate the same way. Routing will route you to the closest place on a road.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And asking for the actual location will give you what it believes to be the actual location.
Right.
Now, Garmin did something completely different, right? They just said, we're not even going to put the actual location anywhere
yeah.
in our database. And if you ask for that location, we're going to give you places where you can view it.
Right. Right.
We're not going to help you get close enough. We're not going to help you get to those places from which you can hike up there, which apparently you can. It's a bit of a strenuous hike, but you can get up there. So it's an interesting time to look at this kind of question of what do we expect from our maps? Do we expect something different from a routing application than from a voyeuristic kind of application like Google Earth? And how do these companies manage this problem? Now, the next thing I want to ask is, do you think that having Garmin make this change is going to help cut down the number of people who are stuck up there or block traffic for emergency vehicles and so forth?
Well, I do. I think that if you're not familiar with this process or what has been done to the applications, yeah, it's going to help route people into a particular area. Because if you're a tourist, you don't really think about the exact location of the sign. What you think about is how am I going to get to an area close to it. So if you're really naive and you think you're going to get right to the sign and you plug in the request to go to the Hollywood sign, you're going to get routed to an area for viewing. You're not going to get to the sign itself, and you wouldn't have known that anyway before going there. So, yeah, it's going to help.
I think it will. And yet those people who really want to get as physically close to the sign as possible will be able to find the exact coordinates of the sign. That I did that this morning. It wasn't very difficult. And they probably can, from a variety of places, including the reviews on Yelp, find where to catch the trail to hike up there. And they'll also get information about what kind of shoes to wear and how much water to bring.
And doesn't that really depend on your objective? Do you really want to get to the sign itself? Do you want to walk up and touch it? Or do you just want to see it? How many people actually want to hike up to it?
I was surprised at how many people were making comments about how important it was to them to get really close. They were willing mm-hmm. to make that hike. And the other thing that's interesting to note is the fact that the vast majority of people who are interested in this have flown into LA from somewhere else, and this is like on their list of things they're going to do in LA. So they're going to go there exactly once, but it's a good opportunity to learn about how these things work and the choices that the people who put together the navigation devices have to make.
I also think it maybe opens up a question of what happens with people who are doing crowdsourcing. Maybe people who are adding information to OpenStreetMaps. You have all of these people who want to locate the Hollywood sign. They're going to upload their data to OpenStreetMap. What's right? What becomes the POI?
Well, and that's a really good point. And there's been a lot of sort of struggling with that. There are visions of how everybody could share a common set of points of interest. That hasn't happened yet. But what's happening now, I think, is that as people get more savvy about how this works, they're doing a lot of comparing, right? You run the route in Google Maps, and then you run it in MapQuest and see if it's different. And then maybe you run it in OpenStreetMap and see if it's different. That's very valuable. The other thing I think is worth pointing out in this conversation is that you can't actually get close enough to touch the sign. Let me quote from Wikipedia here. In 2000, the Los Angeles Police Department installed a security system featuring motion detection and closed-circuit cameras. Any movement in the marked restricted areas triggers an alarm that notifies the police. So if you hike up this trail, you can in fact get close, but you can't get inside that restricted area.
Yeah, well, they probably don't want people desecrating a known landmark.
Exactly. The vandalism got to be a real problem. But because reasonably recently, the Trust for Public Land collected enough money, $12.5 million, to buy the land around the sign, and it did that on behalf of the city of Los Angeles. It is running a contest, and you can, in fact, go into this super secret inside place of the sign and, like, touch it, and it's very exciting. I thought it was funny, and this is actually going on this week, even as we're having this conversation about where the sign is. Are there any other points we need to raise about this? I guess the one thing I would say is this is a terrific learning opportunity for people to understand how all these different forces come together to figure out what goes on the map and what goes into your satellite navigation device.
Yeah, I think that is the point, because we think we're very savvy now with navigation and points of interest and using portable navigation devices, that we're making some assumptions. And sometimes those assumptions are not always correct. And we have to be a little bit leery. We have to be a little bit aware of what our individual devices are doing and where they're sending us. In my experience with using some navigation devices, things didn't really route me the way I thought they were going to route me. We're not trusting, and sometimes we're trusting too much our navigation devices. And that's something that wouldn't have happened, you know, just a few years ago.
And from a different perspective, I don't own a navigation device, so I just look at all of this with great amusement and the opportunity to educate. That's all the time we have.
This podcast is brought to you by Intergraph, providers of GeoMedia and Erdos Imagine. Dynamically jumpstart your GIS. Discover the power of geography and build a smarter organization with GeoMedia's Smart Client. Leverage advanced geospatial functionality via simple-to-use map-based tools to streamline your processes and hone your expertise to build a smart GIS. To learn more, visit intergraph.com/geospatial. And for us here at Directions, we want to thank our over 20-plus sponsors to the Location Intelligence and Oracle Spatial User Conference this May 22nd and 23rd at the Ronald Reagan Building in Washington, D.C. I hope you'll join us. Learn more about the conference at locationintelligence.net.
If you'd like to contact us about today's podcast, you can reach us at editors@directionsmag.com or send us a tweet at directionsmag. You can also leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted. Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.